time when my dad was trying to find spiritual direction. And he was looking and searching and seeking, and his heart was open to the voice of God. And matter of fact, there was a time that he prayed in his spiritual babyhood. You must understand, he was unlearned and he was ignorant, and he prayed for the fullness of the Holy Ghost, and if God would allow him to have that gift of speaking in tongues. But God never granted that to him. It wasn't biblical. It wasn't scriptural. But God did lead them to a holiness church that taught the ways of holiness. And I'm grateful for it tonight. I agree with the psalmist of old who says, our lines have fallen unto us in wonderful places. Aren't you glad tonight for the heritage that's been handed to us? We are keepers of a covenant, if you please, tonight. And I'd like to suggest that to you, and I hope you're understanding where I'm going with this, that we have a heritage. I'm calling that heritage our covenant from God, handed down to us from those men and women who have blazed the trail before us. But I am suggesting tonight that we need a renewing of that covenant in our hearts and among our churches if we are going to pass the torch on to the next generation. I'd like to suggest to you tonight it begins with a visitation of the Lord. In verse number 2 that we read tonight, we find the Lord appeared unto Isaac. God appeared and revealed Himself unto Isaac. I'm glad once again that God is no respecter of persons. I'm glad that He wants to move upon our generation as He has in previous generations. Do you believe God is withholding from us tonight for any unknown reason? Is there some reason that God is being stingy with His people? He never has been. He doesn't want to be. But He is calling us to a renewal of our heart's commitment to His Word. One of the reasons that we're contending for the glory, and I like that chorus that we lifted together tonight, but one of the reasons that we must contend for the glory, men and women, is because we need the Holy Spirit of God to visit our people and to seal to our hearts truth to live by. This must be more than a lifestyle. This must be more than a tradition. This must be more than a heritage. There must be a visitation from God, the Holy Ghost, to our hearts to seal to us that this is pleasing to God and His will is what we desire more than anything else. I fear for our generation. I fear for our people. Brother Lyon, I never dreamed just almost 20 years in the ministry that I would see the changes that have occurred in my short life. I say if Jesus tarries, I wonder what will be accepted in the days ahead. I fear for our generation. Men and women, if I can do you anything in this revival meeting, I want to encourage you to contend for the glorious visitation of God. For it's that visitation that'll seal truth to my heart and to our children's hearts and to the next generation who's coming on. I can't preach it enough. They can't just follow the pastor's preaching. They must have God sealing it to their hearts. Oh, thank God for a renewing of the covenant when God moves. There's a call from God. It's not from Abram. I've met a few people over the years that were walking and living in their parents' call. Are you hearing me tonight? If my call to preach was from parents, it would have run out a long time ago. It would not have lasted. There are too many battles. There's too much opposition. This renewing of the covenant starts with a call from God. It's not from some church leader or some denominational head, although I believe God can work through those individuals. You and I need to know that this is God's call for you and I. There must be convictions from God and not from parents. Our children are growing up and becoming adults. They need, and I pray somehow, we've cultivated within them a sensitivity to the voice of God and to know when the Holy Spirit is dealing. I fear it's one of the missing elements in our churches today is the conviction from God, the Holy Ghost. Oh, how we need a renewing of that in our generation. I remember when I went off to Bible college and I grew up in a pretty strict environment. My parents circulated among some of the most conservative of our groups. The first Bible camp that I remember going to as a holiness boy was Camp Gilead Bible Camp in Ohio. Anybody ever been there? In Cardington, Ohio. That was my first camp. But I remember going to Bible college, and now I am starting to find my own way in this experience, in my convictions. And I remember many a time praying over there at that little prayer chapel and saying, God, I want your will. I need to know what you are pleased with in my life. No longer can I ride on my parents' convictions. There must be something for you and I to live by personally. I'd like to tell you tonight that God is a personal God. And if you'll seek Him and you'll seek His will and ask Him to convince your heart of truth, He will do that for you, just like He did for Isaac. Visitation of God that brings convictions. I'd like to suggest to you also, this renew the covenant involves a command. I don't understand a whole lot about it, but I can tell you here, God said to Isaac, go not down. In verse number 2, into Egypt. My, the spiritual applications that could be put there. In the Old Testament, Egypt is a type of sin, the life of sin. And we could do a lot of preaching there. But God clearly commanded Isaac, don't go down into Egypt. God was willing and desiring to meet with this generation, this new leader, this one who would become a part of the keepers of the covenant. Oh, I've got to hurry tonight and tell you that it involves not only a visitation from the Lord, but hearing the voice of God. Notice verse number 2 where the Lord appears to him. I wonder how many times through the Scriptures we hear the words, thus saith the Lord. Over and over and over again, God is clearly speaking. Thus saith the Lord. Do you believe God's still speaking in this hour? Do you believe God is still dealing in this hour? Do you believe God's calling men and women to ministry and to calls to mission fields and places of service in the local church? I believe God's still speaking. You know, the problem is too many of us are not where we can hear His voice. Tarry until you are endued with power from on high. Jesus said to those who were following Him and to those who were with Him after the resurrection, He said, brethren, you need to go over there into the city and you need to get in that upper room and tarry until you hear from God, until you have the power from on high. It's one of the greatest needs of the church in this generation. We live in such a busy age. Such a busy age. But I believe God's still speaking, hearing the voice of God. And God said, I will be with thee and I will bless thee. I mean, if you want some encouragement, read what God said to Isaac. What was He telling him? I'm not only the God of your daddy, but I am your God. Your personal God. Aren't you glad to be on a personal basis with God? Speaking terms with God where He can say, this is my way for you, child, to walk in. This renewing the covenant involves hearing the voice of God. I must hasten tonight, and I want to talk to you for just a little bit about some of those wells, because I notice later on in the Scripture that we read, I notice here that Isaac departs and he begins to go out and he's pitching his tent in common places of the previous generation. But what he finds is, when he pitches his tent, there's no longer the water sources that were once there. I wonder how many churches we could go by tonight that are no longer open, that once were a powerhouse for God. It's a sad, sad indictment. What happened, preacher? What happened? There's a lot of things that happen that make up that scenario. But I can tell you there's one thing. The wells begin to be stopped up and the water's no longer freely flowing. If there's one thing that we need tonight, we need to go back and redig some wells. I want to ask you tonight, what about the well of salvation? You say, preacher, that's real basic. I don't understand why we need to talk about that tonight. Well, maybe we need to think about it for just a minute, because it's one of the distinguishing calls that we believe as holiness people call us to a new life. And that is, Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Ye must have a new experience, an experience that's from above. There's a lot of missiles that are being lobbed at the church tonight. There are a lot of assaults that are being made against the basic doctrines of the church. And I tell you, I'm concerned sometimes, and don't misunderstand me. Please hear me tonight. I fear being misunderstood when I get on these areas. But men and women, we can have all the look on the outward of a converted individual and still be like a devil raging on the inside. We need to contend that our people know that we've been born again. Neither is there salvation. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, we're living in a world that's pressing us to accept many ways to heaven, but I don't believe it's that way. How about you? I still believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We need to teach it. We need to preach it. We need to live it. We need to share it. We need to contend and ask God to help us to keep that as our watchword and song. Salvation brings us into this family. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and it is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. And the only way into the city, my friend, is for you and I to know, and to know, and to know that we have been born again. What about the well of sanctifying grace? Jesus prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Somehow or another, we've come to an hour where it seems like it's optional for people to be sanctified. I can remember the saints clearly testifying to being saved and sanctified, but you listen to the testimonies in our churches these days, and there are not as many people testifying to a clear experience of a holy heart as we've had in days gone by. It's not optional, men and women. I think another area that we need to go back and revisit that's a part of our heritage is we need to go back and study about the initial work of holiness. Initial sanctification that happens when we are born again. We are made right with God. The guilt is gone, and our relationship, we are justified with God. And in the eyes of God, we are then made initially holy before Him. I've studied a little bit about the Wesley's teaching on this, and it seems to be a misnomer in our day. But men and women, they pressed their people to know that they were saved, and they were living in the light of holiness in a saved experience. Not too long ago, just a few weeks ago, we had a young man who came back to the Lord, went to Bible college, lost his way. For years he wondered. Years he wondered. He was living under the shadow of our steeple somewhat in our little town there in Anderson, Indiana. He's told me himself, he's hid from the preachers that he's seen. He worked in the food industry, and he said, I'd see brother so-and-so or brother so-and-so. He named off several names. He said, I'd see them come into our store, and I'd hide from them. I didn't want them to know I was there. He had conviction on his soul. But God finally got a hold of his heart. And at his bedside at 3 o'clock in the morning, he confessed his need of God, and God, for Christ's sake, forgave him, and he became a new creature. But I want to tell you what blessed me. When he came to church, he didn't profess like he could live below the light that he had had before he backslid. Come on, people. He quickly let me know. He said, I'm seeking holiness. I had a little Bible study with him just a few weeks back. I think it was almost three weeks ago now. And I shared with him some numbers of verses concerning holiness. Sent home some study helps with him. And he is seeking God for a holy heart. You know, that should be the norm in our churches. If we are unclear in our experience of entire sanctification, we need to be seeking God for a holy heart. Well, of sanctification. Very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. That's entirely. I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Do you still believe that tonight? We were singing, it is our watch word and song. We're not ashamed to be called holiness people. We're not ashamed to be identified with the crowd that we claim to be going to heaven with. You're ashamed of Him. He said He's going to be ashamed of you. For our God is a holy God, and He's preparing a city that is holy. What about the well of separated living? I see a lot of dirt being thrown in this well these days. You see, the Philistines in this story is a type of the enemy, aren't they? They're a type of the enemy. I'm amazed. The well of separated living. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, He's speaking to the church, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Aren't you glad we serve a God who's reasonable tonight? A God who is not over-demanding. Not a God who says that we have to live some strange, odd way like so many religions of the world are tonight. I'm amazed at how the Hindus, there's some crazy things go on under the titles of religion in these days. Look what's happening among the Islamists and those folks who profess to take life in the name of their God. You see, our God is a reasonable God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm convinced, men and women, we need that on a daily basis. Through the reading of God's Word, our minds need to be renewed in God's will for our life, and just the opposite of what the culture of this day is pulling us towards. This word world has so many different avenues that we could go down. But I just want to say unto you tonight that God's call is still that we do not conform to the spirit of this age. And you can apply that in so many different areas of life. I've met some folk, and I'm glad God's the judge. But I've met some who are living for this world, accumulating so much. Again, don't misunderstand me tonight. I'm not against you having a home to live in. I believe God surely expects that's reasonable. But the lavish living that I have seen and the luxurious living that I have witnessed in people who claim, and some of them claim to be some of the most conservative among our circles, I'm amazed. I mentioned to you one day this week, I like GW Fashions. That's Goodwill, by the way. Unfortunately, men seem to wear their clothes until they're wore out. I used to be able to find suit coats and those types of things at thrift stores, but it's just really, really difficult anymore. I do the same thing. I wear them until they're threadbare. Unless somebody dies and they're your size. That's about the only way to get secondhand clothes for men. And then you feel a little spooky wearing them. But I've been amazed. I wonder how we're going to stand before God, men and women, when the local church and missionaries desperately needed support that was thrown to the wind by luxurious living. You study the history of the Methodist Church and you're going to find they were people who were very careful in those areas. That's our heritage. It's biblical. Separated living. James chapter 4 and verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity of God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? The enemy of God. I'm amazed. What's going on? Years ago when I was pastoring in South Carolina, I was called to the north for a revival meeting. We were kind of out there in our own little land and loop. We were kind of isolated, if you please, from the mainstream of our movement. And I come back and circulated those few days among our people, and I was shocked by what I was hearing. Shocked. I told you one night this week my parents were saved out of Methodism and Lutheranism. Mom and Dad, they came to the Lord and they were just humble and honest and open and they wanted to please God and whatever. Anybody come along the way and preached, whatever they preached, Mom and Dad just tried to live in the light of it. Tried to please God. My parents had a house cleaning when they got saved. And the church they were attending was not conservative. But God was speaking to them. My mother was so addicted. She tells how she was so addicted to the soap operas. And how God began to speak to them and deal with them. It wasn't the preacher preaching it. It was still God dealing with them. My dad, I'll tell you the story. He said he used to listen to old Jimmy Swaggart on the television. Now that's really spiritual, isn't it? But God said His word would not return void. And men and women, don't you be careful. Just be careful. Because God's word, even though it's preached maybe by an ungodly man, God still can plant that seed in a heart and bring it to life. It's the word of God. My dad called him, nicknamed him Swinging Swaggart. Most of you probably don't even know who he is because you weren't around that kind of, you weren't exposed to that. Maybe not. I don't know. I'm surprised these days what I learned, so hey. Dad says it was a Sunday morning and the milking was done. He was coming out of the room and I guess getting ready to go to church and he'd come by there and there was some old hymn that was being really modernized coming across that show on television. And God spoke to his heart and said, that thing needs to go. That thing needs to go. Dad still testifies. And I'm glad he testified to those things that God dealt with them about because it gives me some encouragement that God still deals and He knows how to work. God spoke to them and the television went out the door and a piano came in. My mother had never played the piano, but God taught her how and she began to play the piano. And one of the little country churches we attended, she was a pianist for a number of years. That was God working in our family. But I'm surprised that some of the very things that Mom and Dad said they had to separate themselves from way back then, 30, 40 years ago, now we're coming to this generational transition within our churches and our next generation is saying those things are okay. Amen. Who's changed? Does God speak to us anymore? I got a call some time ago from a young pastor who was pastoring in a very distant state. You'll never guess where it is. Don't even try. I have visited among the people that are there, that attend there. I know them fairly well because I was among them for a number of years. And if there's anything that I know about that church, it is a very conservative holiness church. And they like that image. But this young pastor came to me and he said, I have run into some surprises. Three of the board members have that little black box in their house. I said, you're kidding me. You're kidding me. Hollywood is parading its stuff in our homes these days. I'm amazed. The lifestyles, the language. Men and women, if you wouldn't allow someone to come into your home and violate it with a scene that is suggestive, if you wouldn't allow the alcohol and all of those things that are promoted by all of those different venues, you wouldn't allow that in your home, why in the world would we allow it to be paraded in our living rooms? I'm amazed. The lifestyles. There are hidden messages. Your children will learn from your life a whole lot more than they will from your testimony in this house of worship. I'm grateful that I grew up without a television and without the movies of this world, and I didn't miss a whole lot. I worked with a young man named Bill England on a construction crew out of Bloomfield, Indiana, a number of years ago when we were pastoring in that area. Old Bill was just an old crusty boy who didn't go to church. As a kid, he went to the Pentecostal church, but he no longer went to church, has a little family. And one day, he looked at me and he said, Tim, he said, do you have a television? I said, no. He said, well, good. You're better off. Well, I said, thank you. I'm going to use that as an illustration when I go to preaching. A sinner boy, an unchurched boy, was applauding me. I said, we just feel like it offers a bunch of garbage and junk that our family don't need in our home. Our home is our refuge from the world. And as a people who call ourselves to be holiness people, I want to tell you, men and women, I don't want to have to turn my head because of what's happening there. God help us. I've said enough. There's a lot more that I could say. I want to tell you, technology is hurting us in these days in a lot of ways. And you can't write the rule books fast enough to outlaw everything. I'm going to tell you, going to have some things settled in your heart. You're going to have some things settled in your heart. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to keep my life pure and holy. I'm going to keep my mind clear and clean, lest I lose the blessing of God and the promise of God that He'll meet my every need. Oh, it's a dangerous day we're living in. But men and women, if we'll be keepers of this heritage and this covenant that God has placed to us, I believe we'll retain His blessing. I must hasten on to tell you, the well of singing. Oh, I've got so much here. I'm going to stay with this one just a short minute, but I grew up with this praise and worship hymnal. Aren't you glad for the old songs in this book? But there's a lot of people throwing dirt on our songs. The well of singing, catching the dirt of the modern church and the world. We got all these little phrases that are being repeated. Somebody calls them 7-Eleven songs. I think it's what they call them. You sing them 7 times, repeat, I don't know, 11 times, repeat the same 7 phrases. I don't know how it goes. But you know, when I open this book and I read the words of Charles Wesley on page number 88, arise, my soul, arise. Page 86, shake off thy guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Read down through those verses. You find doctrine all through there that you don't find in some of the modern things that are happening today in the church. I'm contending for the songs of the church and the singing of the church. Are you? I'm contending that we still glorify the Lord with the raising of our hands during singing. That's a testimony to God. It's an expression of love to God. In the congregation of the people, I say we need to do that in this generation. Teach the next generation. It's a part of worship. I remember when God began to speak to my heart and He said, I want you to lift your hand. I was so backward and embarrassed. Those that are here tonight that knew me during Bible college days probably thought there's no way that guy will ever get into the place of ministry and make anything, and surely not much tonight, but God is somehow helping us to do what we can. But I was so backward, and God would say, I want you to raise your hand. That's my testimony. I'd like to encourage our young people to begin to raise your hands. Moms and dads, I'd like for you to get your hands up again. This is the heritage of holiness that we have in our singing. We sing with spirit. Sometimes we repeat a verse. Amen. We sing it from our heart. Oh, I've been in some places. The song service was so dead, I thought I was in a funeral. And I've been in some funerals that are more lively than that. Amen. Singing. Why, if you're up here and the poor song leader's he's up here trying to lead the congregation, and he looks back for inspiration. I tell you, I hope he looks a little bit beyond some of us. I'm so tired, preacher. This is worship. This is our heritage. This is who we are. We're people who love to sing praises to our King. I want to touch on one more. I want to touch on the well of shouting. I think this is fading from our circles. I'm concerned. Where's the blessing of God that brings the shout out of people these days? We're becoming too quiet. Too quiet. Does God ever move on your spiritual well, any, to cause you to shout the glory to His name? I know it's some of its personality. There's some folks in this crowd who will never shout, but there should be a sign of God's blessing at least every once in a while upon your spiritual soul. Brother B.J. Walker preaching about the experience of holiness and likeness to the land of Canaan spiritually. And he said, the old Jordan River would overflow its banks at least twice a year when the seasonal rains would come. And spiritually, he said, our soul ought to overflow at least twice a year, and there ought to be some sign of blessing upon our countenance. Oh, I've watched some who just glowed. I've watched some who the tears just flowed from their eyes. They were happy in Jesus. There were those who got their little hand up. But I ask you, where's the shout? Where's the shout among the people in this day? Shouts of victory. The well of shouting. I've got to bring this last one before you quickly. The well of evangelism. I wonder what's going to happen across our churches if Jesus tarries. And this church may be an exception because you have a second and a third generation coming on, and I compliment you for that. But if we don't open up the well of evangelism again among our people, how many of our churches will die when the last member goes to heaven? The Great Commission is still ours. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's our commission. Do you believe that tonight? It's for the local church, not just for the missionary. It's not just for the pastor. It's for all of us who call ourselves Christ followers to go out and share the good news beyond our circles and beyond our own people and somehow share Jesus and try to win somebody to the King. We have a wonderful history of evangelism. You can study. I have studied a little bit about our heritage and men and women. There have been a lot of interesting things done to reach out into the communities of our churches in days gone by. But I spoke to a missionary a few years ago, or he spoke to me in great concern. A missionary spoke to me and he said, if we don't have a revival of evangelism in our churches, there will not be support for the foreign field very, very, very many years down the road. You know, we're losing them. We've lost several in our church in the last year. Men and women who not only tithe every single month, but they gave to missions, an offering to missions. We've watched over the last 3 years in our local church, our missions giving go down because some of those old saints who were just standbys in their giving to missions, now there's a next generation who's not picking up the torch and the heritage, and there are mission groups that are suffering all over the world tonight. The local church must be evangelistic in sharing the good news and bringing those in who will become new supporters for those works. But the ultimate goal is to win men and women to Christ. To Christ. I want to ask you tonight, how long has it been since you personally tried to witness to someone about Jesus and His love? This missionary said to me, and out of a heart of concern, he said, Pastor, if we don't have a revival of evangelism, when the last member passes from this congregation, the average age of that church was about 72. Now, if we can't see the handwriting on the wall, men and women, we're blind. He said, the last member passes, the funeral director is going to turn the lights out. I thought it was an interesting way how he defined this. The funeral director will turn the lights out and call the realtor and say, put up a for sale sign. The church is now officially closed. Now, thank God, that doesn't look like that's going to happen here anytime soon. But all across our land, it is becoming a reality. It burdens me. It concerns me. And you know, from this church, God would like to send out some young men with a call to ministry. And He'd like to send out some young folks with a call to missions who will go out and evangelize. But it's also a part of our responsibility and our commission. Isaac, what are you doing? I can see the Philistines as they're looking on. Have you heard? Have you heard what's happening? Do you remember Abraham? Sure do. You mean that old silver-haired fellow that had that one boy? Sure enough. I want to tell you what that boy's doing. Have you heard? All around the campfires of the Philistines, there's concern now. Why? Because the next generation is picking up the heritage and they're saying, we want to redig some of those wells. We want to retake our heritage. We want to renew the covenant that our parents had and our godly forefathers had. And my, there's a stir in the Philistine camp. Why? Because there's a man who's heard from God. He's found a conviction for his own soul and he begins to rise up to the challenge of their day. I would that we'd have a revival in our churches. In this church, do you believe this church is big enough to hold all of those who are unsaved tonight in this community? I don't. I believe if we'd have a revival of evangelism and we'd begin to go out and just shake the bushes for men and women, the walls would have to be pushed out. We'd build on somewhere. We'd add some more pews and there would be a spirit of revival because of the covenant that we are keeping that has been handed to us as holiness people. I'm inviting you to stand tonight. I've been too long. I want the song. Pastor, if you'll come, I want us to turn to song number 54. This is how I felt to, we should close this service tonight. It's an old Wesley hymn. I pray that God will speak to your heart. He'll seal this truth to your heart. A charge to keep I have. Every time I read the words of this old hymn, it stirs my heart. A charge to keep I have. What? A God to glorify, a never-dying soul to save, and fitted for the sky. But then he goes beyond and he says, to serve this present age. The lines have fallen into us in wonderful places, lived together. Go to the pulpit, if you will. Lead where we have some sound. Let's lift this as our closing hymn. May God seal this message to your hearts. God bless you.
A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, a never-dying soul to save and fit it for the sky, to serve the present age, my calling to fulfill. Oh, may it all my powers engage to do my master's will. Arm me with jealous care, side to live, and oh, thy servant, Lord, prepare a strict account to give. Help me to watch and pray, rely, assured if I my trust be. Forever die. A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify. Fit it for the sky.
Amen.